In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Give you a second to get there. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. And the Bible says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever.'" Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that You meet with us today. Lord, I pray we feel Your presence, that You fill this house. Lord, that we know that we've been with You today, we've met with You, Lord, that You speak to each heart that's here. It's my prayer, Lord, that for anyone that's here not sure about their salvation or not saved, Lord, today will be the day they call on Your name, Lord. And then for those that are saved, Lord, I pray that we'll have a new awakening, Lord, a new commitment to You, Lord, that that this year will be different than last. And Lord, so we put that into Your hands today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the new year, this is the new year message that we usually have one every year about this time. And of course, you know, it's most people or a lot of people like to use the new year for a launching pad for the next year, especially a launching pad for change. There's a lot about last year that I'd like to forget, and hopefully the new year will be better than last. You know, and I'd like to think, and I got to thinking about that. Of course, we all probably have a list of things. I know they do the old New Year's resolutions on what we're going to resolve to do or not do next year, and that's good. It can be a good thing. Change is a good thing if it's change in a positive way. Some just change for change's sake is not always good. Sometimes we can change for the worse, right? And then that's not a good thing. But, you know, I'd like to see some change right here at our church, at Valley View Baptist Church. And you know, I mean, I would think that this is something that perhaps you feel, or maybe you feel this way. But, you know, I get tired of the same old routine. I mean, I get tired of that in anything I do. A lot of times at your work, at your family, at home, you know, why do you want to make changes? You make changes because you become tired of the complacency or tired of the rut, tired of the same thing happening in your life or in your job or in whatever it may be. And I think that applies to the church. I get tired of the same old routine, the same old things, the same old unexpectancy that we have as God's people, that God's going to do anything different today than He did last Sunday or the Sunday before that or the Sunday before that. Ordinary things. Somebody wrote this, that God didn't give us His Word for our information, but He gave us His Word for our transformation. You know, I've heard people tell me over the years, say, "Well, I really like the historical aspect of the Bible." You know, they want to get that historical information. Well, that's good, and I guess there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not primarily why God gave us His Word for information. He gave it to us to transform our lives. And, you know, when you think about, we can read about these, and I do, and I love to read about them, but you read about the great movements of God in the history of the world. Now, we look in the Bible, and we see great movements there, and sometimes that's so far removed from us because we're looking at the Old Testament or even in New Testament times. Man, you're talking 1,000 years back, 2,000 years ago, what God did. It's so far removed that we have a hard time relating or thinking that God can do anything in that same way. But we can move up in time a little bit closer, and this is still a ways back, but you look at things like the Welsh revival they had in Wales. There was a revival that swept the whole land. It was such a transforming thing. They said that the mines, they have a lot of mines in Wales, the mines shut down because so many people got saved, so many miners were saved, that the mules that they used to haul the ore out of the ground were so used to being cursed at to get them to do whatever it is they wanted them to do, that the mules had to be retrained because the miners would no longer curse after they got saved, and so the mules didn't know what they were talking about. that it actually shut, this is a true story, it shut the minds down till they could get them trained to the new commands. Man, and you go into American history and you start looking at the revivals that D.L. Moody had, that thousands and thousands of people, Billy Sunday, I don't know if you ever heard of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a major league ball player, and then he was a drunk, and he got saved. And buddy, I mean, he used to go into towns, and he really, really, really preached against liquor. He preached against so hard that there was towns that he came into, he had to have a police escort. When he went around town and to get to the pulpit, he had to have a police escort because it wasn't nothing. Now, you couldn't do this today. You'd probably get locked up for sure. Billy Sunday would go into towns. He'd take a brick, smash the window of a liquor store and bust all the liquor bottles up and say it was against the Word of God and go on and preach, buddy. And there was people ready to kill him. Man, Billy Sunday, it got to the point when he came to towns. And this is in American history, when he came to towns to preach revivals, that liquor stores shut down. He would shut them down. They would just automatically, Billy Sunday's coming, we're closing up. Closing up. Man, he preached tent revivals all over. I don't know, Rick and Melody lived in Colorado. It was either Buena Vista or Salida. I think Salida, Colorado, he preached his last tent meeting. He didn't quit preaching there, but the last tent meeting, because a bunch of snow got on the tent and it collapsed. But the old devil's trying to stop him. But yeah, right there where they used to live and where we go every year on our hunting trip, that's where he preached his last revival. Listen, it's, you know, we don't hear stories about that happening anywhere in the world today. We're not hearing those stories. And I got to thinking about it. What happened? God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. It's us. And I'm not talking about the lost people. It's God's people that's changed. Listen, we talked about it in Sunday school hour this morning. What's happened? And we were looking at the Israelites when for the Sunday school class, mine, you guys already heard this. You can sleep through this part. But what happened in the Israelites when they went into the land of Canaan, God said, listen, I want you to drive them all out. I want you to drive all the Canaanites out of the land. And then when we studied that, why? And they didn't do it. They left a lot of them stay. And the sad part of that is the reason why is God knew that his people would be influenced by the Canaanites to the point they would fall into idolatry, and that's exactly what happened. And I thought about this. I posed the question, you know, why is it that God's people that are supposed to be the light of the world, we're supposed to influence the world, why is it that we are the ones that are being influenced by the world instead of us being an influence in the world? See, that's the state. We're just like the Israelites. We've gotten to the same place. The world is coming into the church. We're not changing the world today. Nothing is closing down because of the church today. Nothing's closing because of Christianity today. The Christians are compromising with the world to where we can't decide what God says is sin, what God says is wrong. We can't decide if it's right or wrong or not because we start listening to the world. We don't have any impact on the world today. And it's sad. And we've got God. We are on God's side. Supposed to be. We are on the winning side. We are empowered with the Holy Ghost of God. Nothing with God has changed. But we're not doing anything for God. We're just not. Same old thing that we do in week in, week out. We come to service maybe 3 times a week, woo, you're really getting fanatical if you show up at church 3 times a week in the world we're living in. And we might sing a few songs, say a weak prayer that usually involves some physical ailment of somebody in the congregation. And then we go home. And then we come back on Wednesday night, and we come back on Sunday night, and we do the same thing week in, week out. Probably ought to spell that W-E-A-K instead of W-E-E-K. Week in, week out, expecting nothing from God. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of that. I don't know about you. I'm tired of it. Nothing going on for God. We usually come to church and ask what God can do for us instead of what we can do for God. We look into the background of our text today. The Israelites had been in exile about 70 years, And at the end of that, God brought them back to their country, and they had rebuilt the temple. And I thought about that some. They really had to worship at the temple to be right. I'm not saying during that 70 years of exile. Hey, listen, there was some praying going on. It was probably some weak praying going on there too. They couldn't worship the way God intended for them to worship. 70 years. You know, sometimes God takes something away from you to make you appreciate it just a little bit more. And I'm going to tell you what, man, what the church needs more than anything, and God forbid we have to come to this, but I'm going to tell you what, it gets to where you can't come to church. Huh? Old Ruth met her, man. I'll never, Christmas Eve service. Bless God, she come down there and she is in a wheelchair, crippled up as she was, and you know what? She hasn't been able to come to church. She's not able to come to church like she wants to, and she was a fixture here in this church for years, buddy. She sat there every service. She was here, buddy. And she said, I want you to roll me down to the altar down there because I hadn't been able to go down to the altar and pray. And buddy, after candlelight service was over and everybody else was going out, they rolled over Ruth down here and she prayed right there in her wheelchair right there. I'm going to tell you what, somebody get the church away from you where you can't go to the house of God and pray. Huh? Get about 70 years of that, and I'm going to tell you what, you'll be thirsty for a church service. You'll have a desire. It won't be no little lame hangnail going to keep you out of church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. No, you'll go down there come heck or high water to get to church when you can't have it any longer. And I'll tell you what, I think it's going to take something like that to wake the Christians up in America or around the world today. We're going to have to get it away from you. 70 years, buddy, they didn't have a Bible to sit at home and read. To find out about what thus saith the Lord. They didn't have that. They didn't have a Holy Ghost as a permanent possession. I'm going to tell you, God quit meeting with us long enough. Maybe that's what's going on in churches today. God said, listen, go ahead and have your little meetings. Go ahead and shake your little hands. And go ahead and have your little dinners and all that kind of stuff. And your little clubs and all that. Go ahead and have it all in there. But I'm not showing up. I'm not going to meet with you. And after we get finally to where we're sick and tired of it, whether we're ready to heave our guts because we've just gone through a whole thing, we might as well have stayed home and read the Sunday paper and the sports page. We'd have probably got more out of it. When we get sick and tired of just dragging ourselves down here to church on Sunday, maybe we'll start praying prayers like Solomon prayed over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 about a desire to have the presence of God. Huh? Maybe we'll start praying for it when we finally realize, you know, I don't think God showed up. I don't think that happened. Listen, when Solomon had prayed and in chapter 7, and what I read in the very first part of chapter 7 is when God responded to what Solomon prayed in chapter 6. You need to read chapter 6 on your own, by the way, because it's a long prayer, but we're going to look at one part of it in a minute. But that was his response. And listen, we're supposed to be here to worship God. I don't think we ever get that. What are we doing here? You know, we're not here for entertainment. We're not in there. Singing's good. Music's good. I love it. But we're not here primarily for that. We're primarily here to find out really what thus saith the Lord. How does God speak to me? Most of the time, see, we sit in church, and I know how it is because I've been over there. We're sitting in church and the preacher's preaching and say, boy, that's a good message for so-and-so over there, because I know they ain't living right. Huh? That's a good message for Penny right there, huh? Amen, huh? That's a good message for so-and-so. Oh, boy, and that point right there, that just fits so-and-so like a glove. And we never sit there and say, hey, you know what? This message is for me. Amen. Huh? This is what, it's the Word of God is for our transformation. Point number one, I want to give you this like here. Three things that we find, three elements that must be in our churches, or we might as well have stayed home. Number one is the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. In verse 1 of chapter 7, 2 Chronicles said, when Solomon had made an end of praying. When Solomon had made an end of praying. What was his prayer? And I said his prayer was over in chapter 6, is where he actually prayed. And when you read that prayer, you have to read the whole chapter, you'll find out how different that prayer is for most of the praying that we hear in churches today, including this one. In verse 20, though, one little part of it, this was one of the requests that he had, and I thought this is great. He said, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there. And I'm going to tell you where God said he'd put his name today is on the church. To hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayed toward this place. That his eyes would be upon this place. The temple that they had built was for the glory of God. And see, today, now we don't have the temple today, but we have the church. And listen, the church is not the building. It's the people. It's us. We are built for the glory of God. God's people. This building. This habitation. Our bodies. That we should present. I told him on Christmas Eve, the only thing that we can give to God is that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, that's what. Why? For the glory of God. Now listen, the building does stand for something. People riding up and down the road, they don't know nothing. Lost people. Riding down the road, what do they see today when they go down the road? They see a parking lot, you know, hopefully it's full. It's not that full today as it can be. But it does mean something to them. But it really is just a building without us, without the people in the churches there. But it's built for the glory of God. It's primarily for that. It's not built for dinners and sports teams and bingo and all kind of clubs. This church, the church and our worship service, we're supposed to be here to worship God, to give God the glory. And this church and our and us, God said, listen, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. Or I'll give you the Holy Ghost of permanent possession. Why? So we can get some kind of crazy happening in our life? No, so that we can glorify God. Amen. With our lives. With our lives that we're supposed to do that, to make a difference. Built to worship God. Solomon requested in that prayer the presence of God. And what I like to see is that God showed up. God showed up. The Bible says later on, says that fire came down from heaven. Man, that's what we need. We don't have to have a physical flame come down, although that would be real exciting. Huh? Altar called, get a little filled up more. Huh? Altar would be just a little different. Prayers would be. You're talking about getting some shouting going on, brother. If a big flame came shooting down the center aisle right down through here one time, there'd be some shouting going on, wouldn't it? Huh? Getting people to their feet, getting people on their knees. People would be hitting the floor. God showed up. But the same thing can happen. That we need to know that God showed up. And we need to know and feel that the presence, and I said this a couple weeks ago, and I believe, listen, we don't technically have to request the presence of God. I mean, I believe God's everywhere. But God's presence in one way, and God's, let's put it this way, God's pleased presence. God's pleased presence, that's what we need. Where God's not just looking at us thinking, what is going on? Where God knows that he's the reason that we're here and that he's the center of our worship. Listen, in the average church today, if God showed up, it would scare everybody to death. Something happened. See, really, man, most people, listen, the average Christian, and this is a human trait, we don't want anything to happen. Do not mess my routine up. Do not get me off track. Even to the point of timing the preacher to see how long he preaches. Don't want to go over because, man, it's just, it interferes with the rest of my life. Huh? We don't want anything to go on any different. We just want Jesus, add him to the life that we have, but please don't mess anything up. I'm like, don't ask me to do anything. No, don't ask me to do anything because, oh, I'm scared and, oh, I might fail and, oh, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? It messes me up. I don't want anything. We just kind of want to come to church, sing some songs. Lord, we love you. Thanks for blessing us. I got a hangnail right here. If you can take care of that, be good. And then I just want to go home. See you Wednesday. See you tonight, maybe. As long as the football game don't go too far over. We'll be back. That's all we want out of God. If God showed up, it would scare us to death, and we wonder what happened. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, God doesn't show up in that way just because we show up. We come dragging in, man, fussing and feuding with our spouses, kicking the dog and cat and the kids. Yeah, you ain't supposed to kick the kids, although they need it. And we haven't prayed about anything. The only thing we've read this morning is the funny papers. Haven't prayed about anything. Haven't picked our Bibles up. Haven't got our mind in preparation as we come to the church. No prayer for the service. No prayer that God would do anything in the service. Not expecting God to do anything in the service. And you're not disappointed because that's what happens. No. But we haven't prepared for it. Haven't asked God, Lord, speak to my heart today through the preaching of the Word. I haven't heard one prayer like that. Kidneys, livers, lungs, flus. Lord, speak to my heart through the Word today. Lord, I want to feel your presence today. I want to feel your power. Lord, I want you to take my life and do something with it. Well, it might mess your routine up. Oh, that'll be okay. Lord, mess my routine up. That's a tough prayer to pray right there. Mess my routine up, Lord. Mess it up. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of my routine. I'm sick of my complacency. I'm sick of my habit of whatever it is, complacency, of not expecting anything. Lord, go ahead and shake it up. And then you get all nervous when you pray that prayer because you're afraid God's really going to do it. Or maybe mumble it under your breath so He may not hear it, and then you can feel confident or feel comfortable within yourself and say, well, I did ask God for that. Listen, God doesn't show up just because we do. Just because we have a church building, or even because we have a Bible, or just because we have a few songs. Listen, man, He shows up. God shows up when we are ready to worship God. Amen. And unfortunately, most of the people in churches today are not ready to worship God. Which, it's kind of like going to church is a little star like we used to do with the Sunday school class where you put the gold star by the name because they were in attendance that day. And you could sit back and look at that little line of constant gold stars all the way across and say, boy, look, I was here every week. Coming to church for the average Christian is like that. Coming to church for the average Christian is boy, you know, well I went to church today and I feel good because I was there. But I wonder if God's here. You know, what happened? What happened in your life? What happened after you got saved? Nothing. What happened? Listen, there, the revelation of God's presence, you know, fire came down. Fire came down and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Man, that's what I'm talking about. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And that's what they wanted more than anything. Listen, that dedication of that temple was nothing if God didn't show up. It would have just been a bunch of people standing around, maybe reading some scriptures if they had them, and praying something, and nothing happened in God. And if the glory of the Lord didn't fill the house, they had nothing. And that's what we got. We got nothing. It doesn't matter who we bring in here to preach, who we bring in here to sing, how entertaining the person may be. If God doesn't show up, we've got nothing. Amen. Nothing lasting, anyway. God showed up when His people are ready to worship. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, God was with Noah. God was with Moses. God was with Elijah. God was with David. But we've got it better than they do because God is in us. Not with us. He's in us. Amen. Why don't we hear about the Holy Ghost filled, shouting, life-changing services in churches anymore? Why don't we hear about that? Something happened. You know, you don't hear about anybody. I don't go down the street down here and somebody say, hey, preacher, man, we heard it was going on down there in your church. What happened, man? Them people come out of there, they're just not the same. I don't hear that. What happened? Nobody's talking about it. You know why? Because there's nothing to talk about. Nothing happened. Preacher told a funny joke this morning. You hear the one about? That's all people remember. I don't tell them anymore. I don't tell them anymore that, and I can't remember them most of the time. They wanted this more than anything. And what happened, and what was going on in those old days when the Welch revivals and people like Billy Sunday, and there was lots of other ones, because, I'm going to tell you what, because they were changed. They were changed. It wasn't that they just added Jesus to their lives, a little bit of Jesus to their lives. Man, listen, they were just changed from head to toe. They said, something's going on. And it changed nations. It still works. Another thing that's needed in our churches, if we're going to have anything happen for God or be able to really worship God, is we need the power of God. in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 2, it said this, "And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." The priest could not minister. In other words, the glory of the Lord filled the house to where the priest could not do anything because they were so in awe of God's presence. They couldn't talk. They couldn't even minister. I read about D.L. Moody, and it said that, you know, he'd been pastoring church for a long time. And it said that these two ladies, two elderly ladies in his church, really got a burden for him, and they started to have prayer for him. And they told him about it, and they said, "Hey, we'd like you to join us in this prayer." And he didn't think he really needed anything. He said, "You know, well, you know," he didn't really need it, but they kept praying. And after a while, because of their praying, he became obsessed with just a filling of the Holy Spirit, a closer walk with God, whatever you want to call it. He wanted something that he didn't have. And finally, he prayed with them. And they poured out their heart asking God to fill His servant with the Holy Spirit. And he started this hunger, it gripped him, and for a filling of the Spirit. And they said at times that he would lay on the floor in agony and pray. And they said that one day he was walking through the streets of New York, and that the Holy Spirit fell on him, and it was so strong that he rushed to a friend's house and asked for a room that he could be alone, and that he went into that room for hours, and that he agonized, and he laid in the floor, and that he was so aware. The presence of God was so strong that finally he cried out to God to stay his hand because he was afraid he would die.
Amen.
And that's when things started happening with D.L. Moody. Huh? Before that happened, he wasn't a worldwide name. He wasn't a worldwide known name. But before that happened, he wasn't having revival meetings that was changing America. When he left that house, he was in the power of the Spirit. And there's nothing that he experienced that's not available to every believer today.
Amen.
Nothing. It just has to do with the desire, with the will. We have to realize that something's missing and we're willing to do something about it. And I want to say to you, and any pastor in the world could say this, all the pastors, me included, we need your prayer. And I don't mean a sentence prayer. Lord, be with the pastor. Lord, fill the pastor with the Holy Spirit. Lord, just help the pastor. Help him, give him the... You know, we need some prayer. I mean some serious time. When we go down to the prayer advances, and the first time you ever go there, they have a sweet hour of prayer, and invariably everybody that ever goes there for the first time says, "Man, praying for an hour. I don't know if I can pray for an hour. I don't know what I'm going to pray about for an hour." I'm going to tell you something, honey. You can pray for me for an hour and never get to you. Huh? You can pray for me for just an hour and never get to you.
Amen.
And after you go there and he gives you a little guide and you start going down to prayer, this is the amazing thing, and almost to a man, every person finds this out at the prayer advance. When the hour's up, you're not done. When the hour's up, you're not done praying. You hadn't got to the end of your list yet. Listen, we need some serious time spent. You know, truth be known, maybe we ought to try this. I just thought about it. Maybe God just laid it on my heart. What about if we got up a little earlier every Sunday morning? Let's just try it out to see how it worked. Let's give it a certain amount of time, maybe a few months, and prayed for a whole hour for our church service.
Amen.
Me include, you know, the preaching. Doesn't matter. It's not about me, about the Word. But if we prayed, how many of us really spent an hour this morning praying for the church service today? I didn't. I'll raise my hand. I didn't. Me and Sherry prayed. How long did that take? 30 seconds, maybe a minute, because we had a lot of other things. Let's just say, listen, why don't we say for a commit for, you say, "Man, preacher, I got to get up early." See, we're already struggling here. Huh? Yeah, it's going to take an effort. Let's just say if we got up early, let's say for the next, let's say like three's good, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Let's go for 3 months. That'd be 4 and 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Math isn't good with me, but that's 12 Sunday services. Let's see if we can get most of us, all we could be able to get all of us, but let's shoot for most of us. Let's say that we get up and for an hour every Sunday morning, we pray for an hour about our church service, that God would move, that God would show up, that God would fill this house with His presence, that God would use His servants to minister at this church. And let's see that at the end of 3 months if it's not different. How many of you be in on that? How many of you in on an hour now? Come on, be honest. Don't lie to God. God knows you can't raise your hand. Now, if you can't raise your hand, you got some problems. You got some serious problems. Say, well, I got kids. I get up earlier. Kids ain't going to be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. Get up and pray. Let's see if God will do something. God will do something. Yeah, God will do something. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you what. You'll find out at the end of an hour's time that you're still not done praying. When you really get right, but you know how many of us, and what I was trying to get at the point is, how many of us really got up and did much praying about the service here today? I see one little hand kind of halfway went up. Did much praying. But I mean, you know, I think that just, you know, hey, I'm guilty. I didn't raise my hand either. No wonder God's not doing anything. No wonder God's not, we're not feeling the presence and the power of God. We ain't even asking for it. You have not because you ask not. Listen, man, that's what we need to do. Let's do it. We need your prayers, sure. And then the last thing that we need, another element we need in worship, is the praise of the Lord. It says there that the priest couldn't enter in because the glory of the Lord filled the house. In verse 3, it said, when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, guess what? They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground. Probably one of their prayers went something like, Lord, please don't kill me at this time. They bowed their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Listen, they didn't bow to the ground because it was the thing to do. They didn't bow to the ground because they wanted something to happen. They bowed to the ground because something was happening, that God had showed up. Boy, I like that. You look about every time that somebody had a personal encounter with God and see how fast they hit the ground. The Apostle John said he saw the glorified Christ. He fell like a dead man at the feet of Jesus. He fell down, man, prostrate. I mean, when you get in the presence of God, something will happen. There was reverential fear. They were awed by the presence of God. When you're God's presence, you'll know it. It will bring you to your knees. They felt their unworthiness. They felt humility. A true worshiper of God has only God as their focus. A true worshiper has only God as their focus. If things are going to be different this year in your life and in your church, worshiping God must be a priority. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. Lord, now as we have the invitation, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord, and get us focused on worshiping You, Lord, and see, really, I pray we see how little time that we actually spend in prayer about You working in our lives and working in our church. Lord, I pray that we would pray more this year into that intent. Lord, that You would do something great with us as individuals, as a church, Lord, that we can make a difference in the community we live in. Lord, we commit it to Your care now. Have Your will and way during the invitation. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's not sure about their salvation, Lord, make a difference there today. Speak to that heart, Lord. Come into their lives, Lord, and I pray they'll call on You for salvation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.